This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Welcome to Keeping the Faith today. I'm Becca Guyette, Program Director for the University YMCA. Steve Shoemaker, our regular host, is out. One of my job responsibilities at the University YMCA is to advise our many student programs, one of which is here with me today. Our guests today are Mary Joy Carnotti and Claire Della Hunt. They are co-directors of Vis-a-Vis, a tutoring program for the public schools put on by the student program at the University YMCA. It's good to have both of you ladies here with me today. I guess we'll just start out by explaining in general terms, and obviously we will get into more specifics. What is Vis-a-Vis?
Well, Vis-a-Vis is a student-run program at the University of Illinois, completely run by university students. On our staff, we have Claire and I as co-directors, and then 12 other coordinators. And their jobs are actually to facilitate the requests and the volunteers that come from the university. So what happens is that we will send out request forms to schools at the beginning of the year, and the younger grades, grades K through 5, will ask for classroom aides for whatever subject, whatever need, if it's reading or math or whatnot, and we will match people who are interested in becoming classroom aides with those requests. We also have one-on-one tutors for grades 6 through 12, which are a little bit more specific in terms of the subject area. A tutor will go there at least once a week to tutor in specific math subjects like algebra or chemistry, whatever the student feels that they need help in. And at this point, we are starting our interviews, so Vis-a-Vis is moving right along this year.
What does Vis-a-Vis stand for?
Vis-a-Vis stands for Volunteers in Schools, a Vital Instruction Service.
Sure. And how did this program, when and how did this program get started?
It was started in 1981, so we're fairly new-ish. But what had happened was that they had done a broad-based needs assessment in the Champaign and Urbana areas and found that the teachers there were overworked and that classes were so large that students that needed more individual attention couldn't get it when they were at school. And to facilitate that, what they had done was start the Vis-a-Vis program, which originally was a YMCA program, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it went from there. So we are now 13 years in the running, and it's been going really well. I've been here for about 4 years already.
Oh, wow.
And it's very, there's always great interest in it from the university community and always great interest in it with the schools. We've built relationships with these schools for the past 13 years. And this year especially, we had calls before our requests were sent out to schools. Schools were already asking, don't forget about us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We really want you here. So it's very nice. So the interest from both the students and the community is what keeps us running. And so
that's good. Now, how did each of you find out and become interested in this program? Claire?
I actually tutored children in high school for all the 4 years that I was there, so I knew that tutoring students in a school setting was something that I wanted to do when I got to college. And so programs like Vis-a-Vis were things that I was looking for mm-hmm. when I was out on quad day at the beginning of the semester, which is basically when all sort of programs in the school set up booths and allow freshmen, sophomores, all students at the university to come and sort of check out what it is they have going on. And when I saw that vis-a-vis was pretty much exactly what I was looking for, I signed up, and it kind of just went from there.
Mm-hmm. And you, Mary Joy?
For me, actually, I came into the university as an engineering student and decided right away that I wanted to be a teacher. And so I talked to my educational advisor, and she said, well, one of the requirements to apply into the College of Education is to work 40 hours in the type of school setting you will be in, the type of degree you're pursuing. So I was looking at secondary education in mathematics, and she said, well, here's vis-a-vis. They have opportunities for you there. They're always looking for math people. And so that's how I started with it. But just like Claire, in high school, I did a lot of community service things. It wasn't necessarily tutoring. Younger children is more like tutoring friends and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But soup kitchens and all that kind of stuff was always a part of what I was doing.
Do tutors have a major requirement? Or, I mean, are most of them education majors? Does it vary? How does that work?
I'd say the majority of the tutors that we have are education majors because they are trying to fulfill that 40-hour requirement, but it certainly isn't necessary to be an education major. I couldn't give you a percentage on mm-hmm. that. But tutors, really you can come in and tutor the kind of subject and grade level that you want to tutor. We really try and cater to what your interests are. So if you're an education major who's going to be in a high school, and you want the experience in the high school, we give you a high school student. If you're, you know, an English major and you're just coming in because you want to give up your time, then we make sure that you're not paired with someone who maybe needs help in calculus. Mm-hmm. We really try and make you very comfortable. So it really doesn't matter what your major is. We have quite a variety, actually, of majors.
So you try to pair them up based on their need. Is that always met? Or, I mean, do they usually get to choose the volunteers in terms of what type of subject they tutor?
I would say a majority of time, yes. We have, especially for the education majors who need this kind of experience. For the classroom aides, for example, at the beginning of the year, those classroom aid requests are the first ones to come in just mm-hmm. because the teacher knows exactly what they need help in. Whereas for one-on-one tutors, the student doesn't know yet if they need help mm-hmm. most of the time. And so those come in a little bit later. So in terms of placing a classroom aide, someone who wants a classroom aide position, it's very quick at the beginning of the semester. And then the ones who would like to be a one-on-one tutor, they eventually catch up in terms of the numbers of requests that come in. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, other people, there are people that just want to be one-on-one tutors, which is fine. We will definitely cater to that. We would never put someone in an uncomfortable situation. But there are also other people that are like, well, whatever's open, let me know. And so we've got a nice spread of people there that are willing to do anything.
Who establishes the need for a student to be tutored one-on-one? Is that something, or do the students self-identify, or do their teachers identify the need, or parents, or how does that happen?
I think actually it varies. I think you have parents requesting tutors. We've actually had some parents request tutors directly through us as opposed to through the school, but parents will request tutors through teachers. Teachers may request to the parents that this is a good idea, and then they will decide to contact vis-a-vis. And I'm sure that there's also the occasional student who recognizes that having a tutor would benefit them a lot, and they're willing to take the time after school to
meet with a tutor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, is any tutoring experience necessary? I know both of you had that in high school, but is that necessary to become a tutor?
No. Not at all. We welcome everyone and anyone that's just excited about it and wants to be there and wants to lend a helping hand. We're all bright kids here at the university, and there's no reason to turn anyone away that just is very interested.
Exactly.
And so a lot of people are like, I've done this before, you know, so I know I've got a handle on what's going on. There are some people that are just like, can you give me some pointers on what to expect? But all in all, you don't need any prior experience, just a willingness to be there.
Great. I'd like to remind everyone today we are here with our guests Mary Joy Carnotti and Claire Della Hunt. Both are students at the University of Illinois and are the co-directors of Vis-a-Vis, which is a tutoring program that pairs up university students with students in the public schools of Champaign-Urbana for either classroom aid or tutoring services. If you have any questions, I'd like to invite you to call. If you are not in the Champaign-Urbana area, you can call 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL or 333-WILL, and that's within Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Getting back to the program, one of the questions that I think a lot of people have is, are you just in Champaign? Are you just in Urbana? How widespread are your tutoring services and classroom aid services?
We are in both Champaign and Urbana. Currently, I think we are servicing about 28 schools in combined in both the cities, and you know, we're always looking to go into to really any school that asks for help. So if they, you know, there's times where you may send a request to a school and they just never get back to you because mm-hmm. you know, of lack of time or whatever it might be. But yeah, we service quite a few schools now, and we're always looking to service more.
That's wonderful. For how long does tutoring last for an individual? So let's say, well, I guess before that, why don't we, does a student, when they sign up, how many tutors, how many weeks are, or I'm sorry, how many hours a week are required of them?
For our volunteers, well, we ask them to go at least once a week, and including tutoring and traveling time. It could go anywhere between 1.5 to 2 hours. I say, you know, travel time just because some kids on campus, well, most kids on campus, don't have their own car or can't borrow a car. So they would have to take public transportation to get there, which is fine. We provide the information for that. But it adds on time, you know. So sometimes we've had volunteers that we're willing to go maybe 3 times a week, 4 times a week, almost every day. And so the time commitment is really up to the volunteer. But that doesn't hinder, like, the number of volunteers that will go to a certain classroom. For example, mm-hmm. We'll have a teacher ask for a classroom aide Monday through Friday at the same time, 1 to 2:30, let's say. But we have a volunteer who can go there Tuesday and Thursday. That doesn't mean that we can't find someone else to fill in Monday, Wednesday, Friday, mm-hmm. so that teacher will have a volunteer all week.
And their need is met.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing actually happens with one-on-one tutors, especially since in that situation you have a student, a particular student, who is at times really struggling mm-hmm. in a particular subject, and the goal, obviously, is to help them get their grade up and to gain a greater understanding in the subject area. So if we have a student that really feels the need to have a tutor there more than twice a week, let's say, we will sometimes provide them with 2 different tutors mm-hmm. so that they can meet with someone every day after school, because generally most university students don't have that time to go every single day of the week mm-hmm. after school. But like Mary Joy said, we can send multiple people to classrooms, and we can also provide one student with multiple tutors if it's necessary.
Now, you mentioned this public transportation. So I assume you're referring to this UMTD system. And how do you work that out? Do you just provide them with the bus schedule and tell them which bus to get on, or how does that work?
Usually, during the interview, once they've had their placement and we've given them all the information they need, we look at the bus schedule together. We look at the time that they're expected to be there and the time that they're expecting to leave, and coordinate where and when they should pick up the bus. It eases a lot of volunteers' fears about the bus, because there are campus buses and then there are buses that go out into the city. And, you know, when you're on a campus like this, it's very easy just to be on the campus and nowhere mm-hmm. else. So there's that. We have the bus system, And we're also trying to get together a ride board where volunteers will carpool together if they happen to be at the school at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still pretty new in the process, the whole carpooling idea. We're hoping that goes well this semester.
Sure.
So, and then if they have their car, then they're more than welcome to drive it there.
For how long does tutoring last? Just a semester? If you sign up, are you expected to tutor all academic year, or how does that work?
Well, we certainly ask that you try to stay for a semester. Obviously, things come up, and, you know, we understand if that doesn't work out, but it sort of depends, really. We have lots of students who come back for a second semester, and maybe they were in a kindergarten classroom, and they want to try a one-on-one tutoring experience, or maybe they just want to try a different grade level, like third grade. A lot of times they just want to go back into the classroom they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens with one-on-one tutors. We have people who really want to stay with the student they were with, and they will stay with them all year because they've really developed a bond and a friendship with that student, mm-hmm. and feel like they're really making a difference. Other times, you know, schedules change, commitments change. So we ask for the semester, but we understand that, you know, things come up.
Sure. Do you know of any stories where students have stayed with tutors have stayed with the student for beyond a year?
I don't know if I can definitely think of ones where they stay for a year, but the one in particular that I'm thinking of, she has actually joined Vis-a-Vis now as a coordinator,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know that she has the time, since the coordinator job can be fairly demanding, to be back in the schools. But I know that she was going, I think, 3 times a week during the first semester, and she rearranged her schedule second semester to be able to stay with her same student.
Oh, wow.
And you know, she really made that effort because she felt really good about it. She really felt like that she'd made a difference.
Mm-hmm. This program is, you know, sharing an office with you, with you all is evidence to me. I mean, the program truly is a testament of the impact college students can have on not just literacy, but all different types of educational benefits to young students and even students in higher grades. Are all the coordinators you brought up, speaking of referencing this particular coordinator, do you all tutor and do the coordinators tutor?
It really kind of depends on our own individual schedules. We have some coordinators that feel that they have the time to be able to do that and want to make that extra effort. But like I said, it can be pretty demanding, the time commitments that we have, especially in particular parts of the semester. So it's an individual choice is what it comes down to. Some coordinators feel like they have the time to do it, and other coordinators feel like with all their other activities and their classes, it's too hard.
But it's correct that all coordinators, and then you both as directors, begin as tutors.
Yes. Yeah, we
all
began
tutors.
As tutors.
And how many tutors, you may have addressed this, but how many tutors does the program have per semester?
I would estimate between 150 and 200, depending. It just varies each semester, but it's a pretty steady number. After the fall semester, in the spring semester, we will actually have some people leave, and then new people come into our program.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the number kind of stays at a constant.
Sure. What, if anything, is required to be a tutor? Well, first I should say, are only University of Illinois students allowed to be tutors, or are you open to others?
Because we are pretty much an entirely student-run program, it is a program that is only open to university students. But that and getting a TB test are really the only two things that you must do in order to be a tutor. We have an application that's pretty basic that you fill out, and what we call an interview, which is really just a time for an interested volunteer to come in and turn in their application and TB test and meet with a coordinator and talk about what kind of placement they would like in the school, and then, you know, work to get that placement.
Mm-hmm.
So the requirements are not particularly high or difficult to meet.
I'd like to reintroduce our guests for today. We are here with Mary Joy Carnotti and Claire Della Hunt. Both are co-directors of Vis-a-Vis, which is a University of Illinois student-run tutoring program for the public schools. It's a registered student organization as well as a service that these students provide to the Champaign and Urbana public school system. If you have any questions about this program, please feel free to call in today. If you are outside the Champaign-Urbana area, you can call 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. Or if you're within the Champaign-Urbana community, you can call 333-WILL, 333-9455. Getting back to the program and the topic, is there a training process in place? I mean, are these students just kind of left to say, or just left after they're accepted, just say, okay, well, you're out there and do your best? Or what type of responsibilities do they have?
Basically, it depends on whether or not you're a classroom aide or a one-on-one tutor. A classroom aide is basically responsible for helping the teacher in whatever way he or she feels she will need help. Now, that does mean that their main responsibility is still to be interacting with the students. So they're not in there to maybe help make photocopies or do that sort of thing for the teacher. Mm-hmm. But a teacher may need help with anything from maybe, you know, handing a few students to the volunteer because they need that individual attention in a specific subject area, and the teacher can't give it to them because, you know, the whole classroom needs the attention. So maybe the volunteer is working with one or two students, or the volunteer is maybe just walking around and making sure students understand what's going on, or they're staying on task when the teacher's teaching a lesson. And I know there's times where a classroom aide will get a chance to read a book to the class or maybe even teach a lesson if they understand it themselves. So that sort of varies depending on the teacher's need and the mm-hmm. teacher's wishes. A one-on-one tutor, again, that can vary a little bit with the student's need. Some students may need help because, you know, let's say there's a student who really needs help with calculus, so the volunteer is going in with obviously some sort of knowledge of calculus and helping the students with maybe just their homework for the day or understanding concepts in general. There's other students who just need help with study skills and organization, so a mm-hmm. volunteer might be responsible for helping them with that sort of thing. So it really can vary, the responsibility that the volunteer will have.
And then training processes that are in place?
We are actually in the process of revamping our orientation sessions. That's what we call our training that we provide to new volunteers. Old volunteers are also welcome to come to these nights. Actually, ours will be held at the end of September, in the last week of September and the very first week of October. And so during these training sessions, there are scenarios put into place, and we talk about them and we see how people react and how they would react in that situation. We also, you know, it's also a question and answer session. Some people are very nervous about going into the classroom regardless of how excited they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, well, what do I do if my student doesn't come in with any homework? And for that, our answer for that is that actually to either, you know, talk to the teacher or come into the Vis-a-Vis office where we will be setting up a resources center there so that whatever subject you'll be teaching, hopefully we'll have something for you to bring in or ideas for you to share with your teacher or your student in terms of focusing on math or science or reading.
And beyond that, the training session that the volunteers have available to them, the whole point of having a coordinator beyond just that original interview and placement time is to have someone whose face you know and whose name you know in the organization, which is, it's big, and it mm-hmm. sometimes feels like you aren't necessarily part of something because you're mm-hmm. just going back and forth to the school every week. To have a coordinator who you can go to with any type of problem you're having, any sort of question, any concern, the coordinator is there for that purpose to help you with whatever it is that you might need help with. And obviously Mary Joy and I are there for that purpose as well. If a coordinator is stuck on some mm-hmm. sort of problem, you know, we all pool ideas all the time. So there's a lot of resources available to volunteers so they don't feel just sort of left out there.
Sure. Now, are you all supervised by anyone from the education field, or do you function as just like a regular registered student organization? You're on your own.
We have a faculty advisor, and Sandy Goss-Lucas, and she actually works in the Department of Psychology, and she comes to our meetings and helps us. She's actually helping us with our training sessions, mm-hmm. our orientation sessions, and she's been with the program for a very long time. So to go back to her and ask her how things were done before or if she has new ideas, she's the person we go to. Also, we have our YMCA advisor, Bobby Fine, who helps us with our grant writing. We are a student-run program, so completely nonprofit, and we do have some expenses for the year, so she helps us with that. But other than that, it's just us and Becca helping us out at the YMCA. The YMCA has welcomed us back for the second year, so we're really happy to be there.
Well, we're happy to have you there. I know many of you have had a few years at least of teaching education in the classrooms here at U of I. Mary Jo, I know you're in your final year of that, mm-hmm. getting ready to go into student teaching next semester. Do you feel as though this has really impacted your teaching education and been practical experience?
I think so, because for me specifically, I'm looking into teaching math for grades 6 through 12, and to work one-on-one with a student who is struggling in something that I had seen for me was something very easy is very different. It's a very mm-hmm. different perspective, and as a teacher, you need to think outside of your abilities to figure out what's going on in that student's head. Why are they thinking that, you know, you're supposed to do this problem this way instead of, you know, doing it the correct way?
Mm-hmm.
Mathematics can be done in several different ways, but if you can't get the first couple steps, the basics, then mm-hmm. it's very hard to move on. So it's a great learning experience, I think. And outside of that, I also was a classroom aide for a kindergarten classroom while I was a coordinator myself, and just spent a lot of time reading with kids, and that was very fun and very different. You know, there's no math involved there, but as an educator, you also learn that literacy is such a big issue now.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking, I'm in this kindergarten classroom and I'm reading with these kids. And I read with my parents when I was younger, and, you know, and that was normal. But what happens when I'm the secondary ed teacher in sixth grade and my students still can't read? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? So it was still great, even though it was kindergarten. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I think I personally, you know, I'm not going into education per se as a teacher, but for some of the volunteers that I have had, I know that especially when you're starting as a freshman, you may go in with an idea like, I really want to be a kindergarten teacher. And after volunteering in a kindergarten classroom for a semester, you may decide, okay, maybe this isn't quite what I want to do, so you try third grade. And
mm-hmm.
especially when you start as a freshman and you have some semesters to play with it, it really gives you an idea of your capabilities and, you know, what you really enjoy and where you feel like you're making the most difference and you feel like you could really, you know, improve and have your career. So I think that helps students a lot, sort of pick and choose and figure out what exactly they're looking for.
And actually, I know of some of our coordinators that they were actually my volunteers when they first started with Vis-a-Vis.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of them were undecided. They weren't sure. They said, you know, we have quite a few of these people come in and they're like, I think I might want to be a teacher and I'm not sure. And that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I encouraged them because I was looking into education. So I was very excited at the thought of them even wanting to become a teacher. But through the Vis-a-Vis experience, they've determined that, all right, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Or I can still tutor, I can still volunteer, but you know, where I am now is okay and not the educational route. So
exactly. Just a reminder to our listeners that you are listening to Keepin' the Faith on AM 580 WILL. This program is supported in part by the University YMCA. The YMCA Student Board is the oldest continuous student organization at the University of Illinois. Since 1873, the University YMCA has been developing student leaders by providing opportunities for community service and social action. This is an eventful week at the University YMCA, as many of our programs that we hold every academic year are beginning. Our Communiversity classes began this week. We are offering many new, inexpensive, non-credit courses separate from the university. These are courses we offer just at the Y, and they're open to everyone on the campus and in the Champaign and Urbana communities and surrounding communities as well. We are offering ballroom dance classes, as we've offered for years and years. We are offering yoga, Tai Bo, massage classes, photography classes, martial arts, and homeopathy, and then different other classes involving art and just expressing your creative skills. In addition to those, we are beginning our Friday Forum and Know Your University lecture series. Our Know Your University series is our Tuesday series. It takes place every Tuesday at noon and ends before the 1 o'clock hour to allow everyone to meet their 1 p.m. commitments. The Know Your University series committee is comprised of Willard Broom, Roxanne Fry, Claire Zoke, and the semester schedule is also contributed to by Eddie Tyner. And our first series talk of the semester is this Tuesday, entitled University of Illinois Looking to the Future. Our speaker is the interim chancellor of the University of Illinois, Dr. Richard Herman. He served as provost of the university for several years, and now as interim chancellor, he will be speaking about the future of UIUC and the many unique and progressive academic initiatives taking place on the campus now. There will be a question and answer session at the end of his talk as well. On Friday, we have our first Friday Forum lecture series. Friday Forum, that we know of, is the oldest, longest-running lecture series on campus. And our first speaker is this Friday at 12 noon, again, at the University YMCA, and is Susan Thistlewaite, who is president of the Chicago Theological Seminary. The theme for this semester's Friday Forum series is Neighbors to Nations, Managing Conflict. And President Susan Thistlewaite will be speaking about what Christian thought and practice bring to the avoidance or resolution of conflicts between religions and elsewhere. She's done much conflict resolution work nationally and internationally. And so we're excited to welcome her on Friday. That's at 12 noon. Both of those lectures take place in Latzer Hall, which is a large hall at the University YMCA. And we are located at the corner of Wright and Chalmers, on campus across from Lincoln Hall. And so if you'd like to attend either of those lectures, you're welcome to just show up. They're free and open to everyone. Or you can call ahead at 337-1500. Lunch is available for purchase from the Thai Eatery. And if you would like to purchase lunch, we do ask that you call into that 337-1500 number to make a reservation. Again, I'm Becca Guyette, Program Director of the University YMCA, and guest host today is Steve Shoemaker. Our regular host is out. And we are with Mary Joy Carnati and Claire Della Hunt, who are co-directors of Vis-a-Vis, which is a tutoring program for the public schools here in the community and is a registered campus student organization on campus. If you'd like to call or ask any questions or make comments, you can call 1-800-222-WILL. If you're outside of the Champaign-Urbana community, that's 1-800-222-9455. Or within Champaign-Urbana community, you can call 333-9455. Ladies, I would kind of like to talk about the tutors and the incentive for getting tutors in. Other than the obvious kind of gratuitous, you know, self-gratuitous benefits of just feeling good about what you're doing. I know that there are alternative tutoring programs, other tutoring programs that students could join in the community, paid opportunities even. And so what types of incentives do you kind of offer to them to join your organization or to get involved?
Well, one of the great things about Vis-a-Vis is that since it's been around for 13 years, it is one of the largest, if not the largest, volunteer tutoring program that the university has. We actually do have other groups that tutor in the schools, but they're not. Their focus is not on classroom aides or providing one-on-one tutors in the schools. So to be even a part of a big thing like this, I think, is a good thing. And you know, we're all university students here. We're all very bright and looking to the future in terms of future career, you know, future graduate school applications. like, being in Vis-a-Vis is a great resume builder. And actually this semester we have been collaborating with Teach for America during some of our informational nights to spread the word about continuing their service in the schools through that program. And so we're hoping that that maybe more of these educational programs will come together and we'll provide opportunities for our volunteers.
Do you want to explain what Teach for America is?
Teach for America is a program that takes recent graduates, mostly recent graduates, who are very educated and brings them into communities that need good teachers. And it's a two-year commitment. And it goes from, you know, elementary education to secondary education. And you're placed in places like Chicago and New York and L.A., but other places that are a little more remote, like the Appalachian Mountains. I think you may also be in, like, reservations as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the extent, but it's a fairly large program, very competitive. For this two-year commitment, you're placed in these schools, in places of need, and you actually work as a teacher in that district. You get paid as a teacher. You'll get alternative certification from that state, depending on where you are. And so Teach for America helps you with that. Some people use it as a starting point for graduate school in terms of actually becoming an educator.
Mm-hmm.
And some people use it as, you know, this is 2 years for me to figure out what's going on and maybe teaching is my thing. And they really want to be a part of that change that Teach for America is trying to build in this nation. So,
and so that's one of... one of many, I think, benefits. I know that it certainly is a leadership development builder. How many hours a week do you all give of your time to do this? I mean, a lot of people would ask, geez, you know, I mean, there's no one telling you to do this. There's no paid incentive. This is just a student leader position. And what specific skills do you all get? How many hours a week have you given, and what specific skills do you all think that you've gotten from this position?
Well, depending on what time in the semester we are in, the hours a week that we give would vary. I'd say, and Mary Jo, you can add to this one, I'd say right now we are probably giving an average each of 15 to 20 hours a week, because getting things going in the fall can be kind of crazy. That will taper off a little bit once interviews have begun and our coordinators are in the office and they are taking charge of their own volunteers and they are sort of standing on their own two feet. So I'd, I don't know, maybe our, maybe it'll go down to, what, 10 hours a week, something like that. So it does depend on the type of the the time of the semester. It will go up a little bit again at the end. And in terms of skills that we utilize as directors, I would say organization is huge. It's huge. A lot of what, a lot of our responsibility is really to make sure that schools have request forms to send back to us, because obviously if we don't have any people who are wanting tutors, then this doesn't work.
Exactly.
So organization is huge, and motivation, obviously. 15 to 20 hours a week on top of all the other things we're doing can be difficult, but I think we both just think it's such a great cause, and you know, we love it so much that it sometimes it seems easier than mm-hmm. other days, but motivation is huge for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, our coordinators are also experiencing the hectic kind of atmosphere we have at this point. And Clara's right. Probably once we get into October, we can actually sit back and take a breath. Mm-hmm. Is what's going to happen. Claire and I live in the YMCA at this point in the office.
I can attest to that.
And our life is vis-a-vis all the time. In addition to the skills that Claire mentioned, you're building a network, and to have people skills and to be able to communicate to each other is vital, even in the classroom when you're a student or when you go out into the real world and are making money, and whatever situation you're in, you need to interact with people. Mm-hmm. And it's great that we've got 12 people there that we can rely on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And have stepped up to the plate every single time we've asked. And so to sometimes for me personally, it's mind-boggling how well we work together. It's just like, we need help in this. All right, somebody's there. And so it's just in terms of, like, you know, seeing other kids our age, being able to do this, being able to take on such a huge responsibility is really refreshing.
Well, I would agree, and I think that you should all be very, very proud of yourselves, because in addition to this amazing leadership development experience, I'm continually impressed, you know, watching the office hours be filled, so whenever tutors come in and have a question, that you're all there. In addition, you're all very committed to your own academics. I think sometimes that's people's concern with the surge of student organizations and extracurricular leadership and other opportunities for students these days on college campuses. I think one of the things that you all are a prime example of is how being involved really does commit you even further to your own academics. I watch you all, you know, strut off to class and come back and get some more work done, and go off to class again and come back and get you in and fulfill your own obligations. So you should be very proud of yourselves. In addition to you all, obviously you have the other tutors. I think we've mentioned this being a registered student organization a few times. How often, if at all, do all of the tutors get together? I know that must be next to impossible. Is it impossible? And if it does happen, what types of things do you like to do for them?
Well, at our biggest thing is actually at the end of the semester we have focus groups where there are 3 nights in a row we have of this. We give pizza to the volunteers. They really like that because it's just before finals. And so we all get together and we talk. We talk about how the semester went, what they liked, what they didn't like, how we could improve things, how well we worked with them, how, you know, most of them actually have suggested that we have more gatherings together so that they feel that they're a part of a bigger organization. And that's very difficult for us. But last year, we're taking steps towards this. We had our first fundraiser last fall, Bowling for Books. We were focused on raising money for the Urbana schools. They had huge budget cuts last year, to the point where teachers had to provide their own paper to copy materials for their students, which is unfortunate. And so something like Bowling for Books, our volunteers were very much involved in, and we're hoping that in its second year that it becomes a bigger thing. So in terms of volunteers seeing each other, we're hoping that that's another instance. And I'm hoping that Claire and I will try to encourage that our own coordinators to meet with their volunteers, just to sit and chat maybe at some random point in the semester, just to make sure things are going, because focus groups only happen at the end of the semester, and to maybe have a focus group in a smaller scale in the middle of the semester may be more productive in terms of changing things around that could be better for the program.
Yeah. And Anna, as I mentioned earlier, it can be hard as a volunteer, and we've all experienced this, remembering that you're part of something that's so much bigger. You know, like I said, because you're just sort of doing your thing, and on Wednesdays you go to the school and you come back and you forget that there's 150 or 200 other people on the campus that are doing that just like you are. So we are really hoping that because of that factor, and because generally the most of the communication between the coordinator and the volunteer is through email. Occasionally a volunteer will come to the office to do something face-to-face because there's something, you know, that needs to be talked about, and email just isn't convenient. But because most of it is done over email, we are sort of encouraging our coordinators and, you know, seeing how they feel about it too, as Mary Jo said, meet in the middle of the semester just so volunteers can see other volunteers' faces and recognize each other when they're walking on the quad and realize that they are part of something that is big and great, and, you know, it's not just them out there doing it all by themselves.
Sure. I'd like to send out one final invite to callers or to listeners to call in, ask questions or make comments to the young women who are our guests today. If you have any questions or would like to make comments and you're outside of the Champaign-Urbana community, feel free to call 1-800-222-9455. If you're within the Champaign-Urbana community, you can call 333-9455. And again, we're with Mary Jo Carnotti and Claire Della Hunt. Both are student co-directors of Vis-a-Vis, which is a completely student-run tutoring program for the Champaign and Urbana public schools here. In the communities. You mentioned earlier that you did a fundraiser for Urbana, and some people, of course, might wonder, what about Champaign? What about Champaign? Have you done any work with them? Are you doing any specific fundraisers for them?
The reason why we chose actually Urbana in the fall was because Bowling for Books was fairly small in terms of the amount we got to fundraise, so it was very hard to distribute in. We only looked at two schools in Urbana, actually, to donate the money to. So we're hoping that our focus will shift. So it takes turns. We're hoping Urbana 1 year, Champaign the other year. We're not wanting to leave out any district in particular. It's just the magnitude of Bowling for Books. It was with it being in its very first year, wasn't raising thousands and thousands of dollars.
Sure.
So. Instead of giving smaller amounts to many schools that couldn't get books or paper, we decided on two schools in Urbana so that they could get things that, you know, were very much needed, like phonics books and stuff like that, which are a lot more expensive than paper and crayons. So this year, hopefully it'll be this huge thing, and maybe we can provide to both school districts.
Can anyone get involved in Bowling for Books, or is that just limited to the tutors?
Yeah, I would say that, obviously, as Mary Jo said, we're hoping it gets bigger and better every year, but since it was sort of our baby last year, we did what we could, knowing what we knew. We've learned a lot from the experience, and we will do our best to get the word out and hope that people, regardless of whether or not they're volunteering with Vis-a-Vis, would want to come and bowl for such a great cause. So we would welcome anybody. We just have to, as I said, work on making sure people know about it. We sort of put it together fairly quickly last semester, and now since we know it's something that was really successful, we will know a lot more about it sooner, so hopefully people will be able to become more involved.
If individuals want to donate supplies or funds to the this program, to Vis-a-Vis, what should they do?
We have an email address that we can be reached at, obviously, at any time, and that email address is askvisavis@yahoo.com. That is A, S as in Sam, K, V as in Victory, I, S as in Sam, A, V as in Victory, I, S as in Sam, @yahoo.com. And if anyone had an interest in donating anything to Vis-a-Vis, we could answer any questions through email. And obviously, as you'd mentioned before, we are located in the YMCA, which is on the corner of Wright and Chalmers. So if something wanted to be dropped off at the office, that is an option as well. And our phone number in the office is 239-3614. So those are three ways that you could get in contact with us if you had an interest in donating anything or you had questions about how you might go about doing something like that.
I think Mary Joy's experience has almost answered this question, but is there a limit as to how long someone can be involved in Vis-a-Vis, or do you welcome them for as long as they want?
Forever. As long as they want to be with us. Absolutely. I've been here forever, but
it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great thing. And I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how long people have been here in terms of volunteering just with Vis-a-Vis and not moving on to become a coordinator or a director in that sense. But that would be a great thing to figure out this semester, to see how many semesters people have been involved with the program, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But every semester, everyone is certainly welcome to come back and bring their friends. And
we're always looking for people.
Always. There's always a need, especially in math and sciences. If anyone is very happy about those two subjects, you should especially give us a call.
Little plug there for those, I know. At this stage of the game, how can someone become involved? Do you have further information? You've already mentioned the phone number and the email address, but what about students on campus? Are there informational opportunities still left?
Yeah, we are actually having an information night tomorrow night, which is September 13th, at 7 p.m., and that is in 223 Gregg Hall, which is on Wright Street. That will be our last information night, but anyone who wants to stop by the office, starting tomorrow, we should have students, our coordinators in there, for the better part of the day, I would say. And if they have any questions, anyone is more than welcome to come in, pick up an application, ask questions, sign up for an interview slot, anything like that. So though we only have one more information night, you know, our door is almost always open.
And Claire and I are in there most of the time anyway, between classes and whatnot, resting in between classes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, as Claire said, the coordinators will be there now. Our office hours are starting this week. So if you wanted to just even come in and ask about the program, you're more than welcome to come in and ask. We'll be happy to have you there and happy to give you all the information you need.
And I can just a reminder that the Vis-a-Vis program is located in the University YMCA. We are on the corner of Wright and Chalmers Street, across from Lincoln Hall on campus. And their office, if you enter from the doors on Wright Street, is to your immediate right. And it's a big room with lots of friendly, smiley faces in there. Mm-hmm. I'd like to finish off by asking you what you think are the biggest benefits, the primary benefits of this program to the students who the tutors work with. So whether it be classroom aid or one-on-one tutoring, obviously there are the academic outcomes, but what are some other primary benefits that you think?
Well, aside from the academic outcomes, which based on some of the surveys we've done have been great, I think that both students and tutors find that they really develop, especially in a one-on-one situation, a bond with their student. And a lot of times these are students who maybe don't feel like they have a lot of friends, or mm-hmm. maybe they feel like they don't get, you know, the attention they wish they had at home, or they mm-hmm. just want someone to talk to. And having someone who's older, who, you know, you might tend to look up to, come in just to give you that attention, I think makes a huge difference sure. to students. And tutors feel that. They recognize that they make that difference. And in a classroom aid situation, any stress relief that we can give to the teachers is huge as well, because it obviously is going to make their job easier, and that will benefit the students as a result.
And we did have surveys sent out to teachers and to students that were tutored
mm-hmm.
and found that, you know, as Clara said, grades were improved. Their attitudes towards learning, specifically, you know, to the students' learning, were also improved for the majority. Most of them are very much satisfied with the program, and were looking for us to come back with our volunteers. So
that's wonderful. Well, thank both of you ladies so much for being on today. I'd like to remind our guests listening, or I'm sorry, our listeners, that if you would like to contact this program or have any further questions about it, the ladies here with us today, Mary Joy Carnotti and Claire Della Hunt, can be reached at askvisavi@yahoo.com. That's A, S as in Sam, K, V as in Victory, I, S as in Sam, A, V as in Victory, I, S as in Sam, @yahoo.com. Or they can be reached by phone at 217-239-3614. Also, a reminder that this week is a very eventful one at the YMCA. We began our community classes offering dance, martial arts, photography, and many, many other courses related to fitness and the arts. Those begin, and if you're interested in looking up any of those, you can go to www.universityymca.org and click on the community link. Or if you're interested in attending any of our lecture series, we begin both our Friday Forum and our Know Your University lecture series this week. Our Know Your University begins Tuesday with a talk at 12 noon in Latzer Hall at the University YMCA from Dr. Richard Herman, who is the current interim chancellor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And there will be a question and answer session at the end of his talk. In addition, we have our first Friday Forum talk of this semester, and that takes place Friday at 12 noon in Latzer Hall at the University YMCA. And our speaker will be Susan Thistlewaite, who is president of the Chicago Theological Seminary. Next week on Keeping the Faith, our host Steve Shoemaker will be back. He is the executive director of the University YMCA, and his guests will be Tammy Lemke and Dan Wheaton. They will be talking about the United Way, various programs and initiatives taking place at the United Way now, and we look forward to his return and their visit. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in today to Keeping the Faith. Again, I'm Becca Guyette, Program Director at the University YMCA.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Classic Tan and Swimwear, Champaign; Colonial Pantry, Champaign; and Spectrum Consulting in Mattoon. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Her novel Bel Canto was a hit, so now novelist Ann Patchett is a star. But back when they were in college, it was her fellow student, Lucy Greeley, who got treated like a rock star. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, a look at uncommon friendships. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, From PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.
A couple weeks ago, I heard this show on the radio where they were trying to explain why most people in most elections prefer Republicans these days. And there was a writer named Thomas Frank on the show going around with this book that he just published about politics in Kansas. He was interested in why Kansans would keep voting for Republicans at every level, even though Republican economic policies and social policies weren't doing much to help them. And he says actually made their lives tougher in a lot of ways, hurt farmers, hurt the Kansas economy. The poorest county in the country went for President Bush with an 80% majority in the last election.